Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hello, Bob. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, except we've had a major snowstorm, an ice storm up here. And, of course, I suppose the weather's lovely in Tampa, right?
Oh, it is. Maybe you should join the flock of snow bunnies that have hopped their way down here.
Okay. Many people have called me a snow bunny, but I think I'll be down on the next flight. Stephanie, you had a wonderful trip to Wyoming recently. And I must say that the Wyoming always has even the name has a great appeal for me. It tends to say me as a Canadian. It tends to say the great Wild West and these great open spaces. Is that what it's really like?
It is really like that. It is definitely, you can see it is cowboy country. Mm-hmm. It gives definition to the term wide open spaces. It's actually the least populated United States state. I'm not sure if you know that, but it's the population's only about 515,000 people.
Really?
In the entire state, yes.
Any idea why that is?
I just think because it's so rugged. It's one of the states, you know, I noticed when I was driving, actually, that the closest city that you can fly into if you're visiting the area is South Dakota. It's Rapid City, South Dakota.
Right. I'm looking at a map. I've got my atlas out here, and I'm looking at, okay, so I can see Rapid City right on the border, South Dakota and Wyoming. So people would fly into there to go to Devil's Tower.
Absolutely.
Which you're going to talk about. And Wyoming, was that your first time there?
That was my first time in Wyoming.
Okay. So very much wide open spaces, big sky country.
Yes, very rugged. Lots of space between the cities. You know, even the ones that are the towns and the cities, there would be times where I'd be driving and maybe wouldn't see but a few cars pass me by.
Okay.
So if you want some peace and quiet, that's a great place to go.
So really for our listeners, we should probably, especially those who are not from the United States, Wyoming is just south of Montana. It's also just west of South Dakota, and you can tell I'm looking at my atlas here, and it's just north of Colorado. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you went to Wyoming for a very special event and to a very special place. Tell me about it.
Well, Devil's Tower National Monument this last year in 2006 was celebrating its centennial as a national monument. And for the centennial celebration all year long, they had various activities and certain weekends during the year, and I was able to go for Native American Heritage Weekend.
Wow.
Yes. Which was a significant event. So that was in the fall of this last year.
And why was that particularly significant?
Well, that's a long story, but
we've got time.
Okay, good. Well, it's significant because I think this was a centennial celebration. So we're basically celebrating 100 years of this monument being a national monument. But the fact that Devil's Tower is significant to so many people started way beyond 100 years ago. And that's what I learned as I traveled to Devil's Tower.
Well, let's get into the time element a little bit later, but I need to know, first of all, what is a national monument in the United States, and how does a national monument get created?
Well, Devil's Tower actually was the very first national monument, which many people don't know. President Theodore Roosevelt was a big naturalist, conservationist, outdoorsman. And in 1906, he passed the Antiquities Act. And this was, what he did was basically he established power with the presidency to be able to name national monuments. And national monuments are a protected area. Most of them are prehistoric Native American ruins and artifacts. He actually had a ranch in North Dakota, I'm sorry, and was a big, you know, he kind of lived during the end of the American Wild West, you know, in the late 1800s. And so this was very important to him.
And this is the president that everyone refers to as Teddy Roosevelt,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is Teddy, T.R., okay. Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay. He's the one who's famous for saying, what is it he said, walk softly and carry a big stick?
Yes.
kind of a Wild West guy himself.
Yes. He was a big outdoorsman, roped and ranched and did the whole thing. So he was afraid that... Basically, a national park is similar to a national monument, but Congress has the power to pass a law and make a national park. So he was afraid that by the time Congress got around to making Devil's Tower a national park, that it would be destroyed. And so he passed the Antiquities Act in 1906 and then established Devil's Tower as the first national monument.
So just to summarize a bit, so he enacted legislation that gave the President of the United States the power to actually declare a national monument, but not to declare a national park. The latter has to be done by Congress itself.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so now, Devil's Tower, what is this, a structure of some sort?
It is a geological structure. They're actually not sure. Scientists have obviously been researching this for years, trying to figure out why it's there.
It's a geological phenomenon.
It's a geological figure phenomenon.
Like what would you, it's like a mountain or?
It's like a mountain. It looks like a mountain, but it's not covered in any kind of foliage or plant life.
So it just kind of rises.
It's almost like a ridge. It just rises from the earth.
Okay, as if it was suddenly thrust up from.
Yes.
Now, did that happen because of volcanic activity? Or?
Well, they're not sure. They think it had something to do with volcanic activity because it's made out of igneous material. And igneous material is rocks that are formed when magma cools and solidifies. So it has something to do with volcanic activity. They're not sure if it is an actual dormant volcano or if it's part of a volcanic neck or a volcanic plug. So they're still... I think there's many theories about why it's there, geologically speaking.
So from a geological point of view, there's lots of mystery.
Yes.
To it and a certain mystique, I suppose.
Yes.
Now, why is Devil's Tower so important to Native American people?
Okay. For them, it was a very sacred place, which is why my article is titled On Sacred Ground, because it was very sacred for Native American people. It was a big meeting place for Native tribes. It was also a place, it was a nonviolent place, a neutral zone. And many different tribes have affiliations with it, but basically... They met at Devil's Tower to trade goods, to find wives. It was a religious place, so there were religious ceremonies performed there, a lot of rituals and healing, and that's why it was significant for Native tribes.
So the fact that it was considered by so many Native American groups as sacred, and that's also why it's a peace ground, I suppose.
Yes.
I have seen pictures of it, and we'll get to that in a moment. Most people have seen it, and you'll explain that in a little bit.
Yes.
But it's a monumental, no pun intended, but it's a monumental geological phenomenon, which impressive in that respect. Can you just name some of the Native American tribes for whom it was particularly... significant?
Yes. Actually, there's six tribes that are considered to have geographical ties to it, meaning that at some point in their history they lived near the tower. But the Arapaho, Cheyenne, Crow, Kiowa, Lakota, and Shoshone all had geographical ties to it. But they say that there's actually over 20 Native nations that have cultural ties to it, meaning that they have some belief as to why it's there, it's part of their legacy. legend or part of their history.
And am I correct that it's still considered a sacred area
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that brings me to my next question. Like, if this is a sacred place for Native American people, are there not possible cultural clashes that could happen here when non-Native people come and, I don't know, can you climb all over the place?
Oh, absolutely. That was actually one thing that I spoke with in great length with the man that I spoke with as part of the Ogallala Lakota Nation. One of the big cultural clashes is the rock climbing. That is something that, you know, there are lots of climbers that want to try to climb Devil's Tower, and it is allowed at the National Monument. However, for the Native American nations that believe that this is a sacred place, it's a bit offensive.
Yes.
I would say it could be likened to, you know, someone climbing the Vatican, perhaps,
right,
to a Catholic, you know, something like
right,
along those lines.
Yeah,
right.
that wouldn't be considered too nice.
No.
Now, but on the other hand, for non-Aboriginal people who come to visit Devil's Tower, how can they get a new understanding of Native American culture itself visiting that place?
I think that, you know, it's a really good lesson in putting yourself into somebody else's shoes. It's a good lesson in perspective. You know, one of the things is to do your research or do your homework. Understand why it's there. They have a fabulous visitor center that tells you all about the history from different perspectives. You know, one of the things is really to read and understand why it's significant. And I think the other thing is if you have the opportunity to speak with someone, maybe that's part of a Native nation or... You know, speak with someone maybe that's already traveled to Devil's Tower.
And you actually did. You had, you spent some time with a man by the name of Michael Hackwith.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing his name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay, that was a very privileged one-on-one experience that you had. Tell me about your talk with Michael.
Michael is, he is a wonderful man. I really had such a great impression of him. You know, he was really willing, we really sat down for a long time and had a great conversation. You know, you can read the books and you can look up the information on the internet, but he really put it into perspective for me. And I think one of the things that struck me about him in particular is, you know, many of the Native American people could be very bitter about what happened in the past and part of the history of the nation. And I think that his only mission really is to get out there and really educate people about their culture and about their ceremonies and their religion and why Devil's Tower is so significant to them. That's really what his only focus was.
Now, you say in your article that he's a son dancer. Well, what is sun dancing and what's a sun dancer?
Well, it's a big deal in the Native community. Sun dancing is actually a ritual or ceremony that's performed. Different Native nations have performed it in different ways. They have, it's very specific to each nation, but it's basically a rebirthing ceremony. What they do is there is, in fact, a lot of dancing. There's singing and drumming. The sun dancing, the sun dancers, they can do this for, I think, up to 4 days. Often fast when they're doing this, and a lot of times they'll see visions, and it's usually done towards the beginning of a year and end of a year.
And you've got some great photographs in your article,
yes,
by the way.
Yes.
And am I correct that some of those pictures are of actual sun dancing?
Yes, you are.
And Michael, is he from the area? Does he live there?
He actually lives in Missouri and he goes down to Devil's Tower, goes up to Devil's Tower, I think 3 to 4 times a year to participate in either ceremonies. This was the first time that they did Native American Heritage Days. So he is interested in participating in more activities like that, and we're hoping that this is going to be something that they do every year.
Why does he go there 3 times a year? Is he required to?
No.
Or does he...
He's certainly not required to. This is a man that, you know, his mission in life is to keep his heritage alive, either by interacting with people that are not Natives or Native Americans, or interacting with the Native American youth to explain to them, you know, what is Devil's Tower? Why is it significant? Why is it sacred? And that's really why he travels there 3 to 4 times a year.
I want to talk briefly about your personal reactions being there. Like, I'm trying to imagine, where did you fly to? You flew to Rapid City?
I flew to Rapid City, South Dakota. My flight came in very late at night, so I had to drive. Mm-hmm. It takes about, I'd say, 2.5 hours to get
from Rapid City.
From Rapid City to...
Is this sort of on the westward route, though, if people are, let's say, going to Yellowstone, which is a very popular area? Is this more or less on the same itinerary route?
I think it would be.
So anyway, you land in Rapid City, you drive in the night, you...
I was frightened I was going to run into a deer.
Right.
And it's pretty wide open spaces, like I said, but what a wonderful drive I had. And I stayed in Hewlett, Wyoming, which is a little town outside of Devil's Tower. You know, there's kind of a long road that you take to get to the monument, and when you first see it, I can tell you my heart skipped a beat. It was quite an exhilarating experience. You can see why they had to go there. They had to see what it was, and you can see why they think it's sacred as well.
In your article, Michael had you do something very special just before you left. Can you talk to us about that?
Michael told me that before you enter the park and before you leave, that you should offer a bit of tobacco to the creator. It's almost like a holy water for Catholics, kind of something to show respect for the place, the sacred place. And so at the end of our conversation, you know, he asked me to get a little bit of tobacco and make an offering, that I was able to come here, that I was able to learn about Devil's Tower and its significance and the fact that it is so sacred.
I get a feeling from your article you're a little bit ambivalent about the experience. It was a wonderful experience and you're highly impressed, but I get a sense of there's a bit of sadness as well in your experience.
I was sad. It definitely affected me emotionally on a pretty deep level, and I think that it's simply because so much of the history is either lost or maybe it's not portrayed from a larger perspective. I think that being able to speak with him, it really hit home. I was really able to see why it was so sacred to them and the significance. And I think many people, you know, go to Devil's Tower and it's like, ooh, look, it's a really cool rock formation. And maybe that's all the understanding that it gets. This is so important to our history as a nation.
And Native American history.
Native American history.
Last question, Stephanie, because we got to be going soon, but why do you think Native American heritage travel, whether it's for Native American people or for anybody, why do you think it's such a specialized and such an important form of travel?
I think it's for those that want more from their travel experience. I think Native American heritage travel requires, you're going to get more out of it if you do your research and you do a little bit of work before you go to know exactly where you're going and what its significance is. You know, like I said, affected me on an emotional level, and I feel like it's a way that you can really sort of open your perspective and open your mind and enable you to relate to others.
Well, you certainly have done that in your article, and you certainly achieved that with us. So I will encourage everyone who's listening to go to www.ttrn, and the easiest way to find Stephanie's article is just to put the keyword Devil's Tower into the search engine on the home page, and you'll see this wonderful article. Anyway, Stephanie, thank you very much for this, and hope to be talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.